Okay. I've been hearing a lot of stories about the Rebbe Rabbanu Pshischa, and we have a couple of more talks to go regarding his fascinating life until becoming a Rebbe. The years before being a Rebbe, we have a lot of information about that. Rebbe Bunim himself didn't hesitate to tell stories, and he felt that, and we're going to learn when we begin to learn his Torahs, we'll see that he felt that there was much to be gained by revealing to his Talmidim the kind of tikkunim, the kind of good things that a person can do, even if you're not a Chassid Sherebbe, but just in one's job at work and so on. We're going to talk a lot more about that. Last week there was a mice that I didn't have time to tell, and I wanted to finish and just tell this mice before we get into his career as a pharmacist and some interesting stories about that. And then finally today, I hope we'll get to the time he became already when he became a rebbe, an admor. We mentioned last week, we were talking about how Rabbi Bunim would make certain tikkunim while playing cards with people. There are more stories about the tikkunim he would make while playing chess. That was really his favorite game, was chess. Now, chess, you know, chess is a game that actually it's brought down to the Gemara, knowing that in Ksubas and Samach Aleph and Beis, Rashi says over there that it was a mishak melachim, that it was a game that kings would play. And it's even brought down to the Ramah, the question of whether or not one could play chess on Shabbos. It's part of halacha. It's discussed in halacha. And it was an extremely popular game in Europe in those days. And there's an interesting story that was told by a certain Baal Tshuva that Rabbi Bunim was makarv as a result of a game of chess. So the story goes as follows, that there was a young man who had drifted far away from the mishpacha and far away from Yiddishkeit, and he was a person that was basically wasting away his time. He was from a wealthy family, he really wasn't working, So he enjoyed playing chess, and the Rebbe Rabbunim one time sat down to play chess with this fellow, and this is what took place. Rabbi Bunim said that it once happened that when he was in Danzig, when he met this young person, and he finally is able to get involved with him in a game of chess, so the young person said, this man said to the Rebbe Bunim, "Kvodo yodeya sheyesh chukim mesuyam b'mischak zeh." Says, "Sir, you should know that there are specific rules and regulations when you're playing chess. There are very exact rules." Vani mevakshol hishtad lishmar leim, and I'm asking you. He asked Rabbi Bunim, "I'm asking you to stick to the rules. There are rules in how you play chess." So the Rebbe Bunim said, "Of course, I understand." He says, "Chok ze chok, a rule is a rule. Val chukim chayavim lishmar, and rules have to be kept." You know where this is going. So what happened was they start to play chess. Now Rabbi Bunim was a brilliant chess player. They began to play chess, and Rabbi Bunim intentionally made a bad move. And the young fellow immediately picked up on the mistake, and he was excited, and he wanted to take off the piece. It was a chash of a piece, and he wanted to take off the piece as a result of Rabbi Bunim's mistake. So Rabbi Bunim said, "Oy, ani roesh shasisi shkia. I see, I made a terrible mistake. I will honor mimcha, mechoyli al mashasisi. I beg you to forgive me for the mistake that I made. Betainli lachzer bi mahamahalach hamuta shasisi, and give me a chance to correct the mistake that I've made." So the young man said, "No." He says, "Ma'alo, so sir, you know, yudahetiv ke'ein zeh chuki lachzer bi mahalach. It's against the rules to change one's direction and to change the move. It's against the rules." So, but then he said, "Okay, it's the first time you did it. I'll let you go this time. Ulam, however, ani mevakes mimaloso shelifnei shekvoda holich lasas ezem halach. But sir, I ask you, he said to Rebbe Bunim, next time you're about to make a move, yachshuv toiv moed. You should think first. Kadesh shel yovel day tos. You shouldn't make a mistake. Kiberegesha mahalach nase, because he says you should know, Rabbi, that once you make a move, ein chazara, you can't change after that. It's fafal. So Rebbe Bunim says, you're right, nishtadel, I'm going to try. Anyway, they're playing a little bit longer, and again, the Rebbe Bunim made a mistake in such a way that the young man was very excited because this was not going to be checkmate. It's going to be the end of the game. So then all of a sudden, and he starts to, he calls out checkmate, and he starts to move his piece, and all of a sudden, again, Rebbe Bunim says, to please me, Mavata, this last time, and I promise you, he says, that I'm not going to ask you again to change any of my moves. At this point, the young man couldn't agree, and he said, the first time you made the mistake, I was prepared to let you go. Avakeis, b'pamashni, it's already the second time. Lobo b'cheshbon shav, it's not even a cheshbon that I should. It's b'chlal not a cheshbon that I should be meichel. I should let you go. Then it says in the sefer, Oz posach Rabbeinu was peak kosher b'devar ma'yetsim mehalei. Vayoyim elayisa avrech. I can't really say it well in the Yiddish. I'll call you up here to say in Yiddish. I can't really. My Yiddish is not so. I can say a couple of words, but I can't read it properly. But in the lashon hakodesh, it is oy vavoy. La'isa Adam. What's going to be with such a person? Shekvar shaka kolkach amok b'dachim al kalkolos, who's become so lost and so mixed up, immersed into his mistakes. Shekvar lo mo'ilu lo shum b'koshu tefilu lachs l'mutav, that no matter how much he begs Hashem, no matter how many times he asks Hashem, Hashem says it's already too late. And Rebbe Bunim said this, and he was crying. And the young man understood, of course, and he became one of the Rebbe Bunim's Balei Tshuva that he picked up along the way in one of his interesting experiences. This was just, there must have been thousands of things like this. We just don't know about them. It's just these are the ones that were told. These are the ones that were told over. There was another one that said. There was another Ma'aseh Shehaya during these days before Rebbe Bunim became Rabbi. Just an example of things that people said that they had experienced with him. Rebbe Bunim was once playing chess with a group of maskilim, chevra, like guys that were not careful with mitzvahs. And Rebbe Bunim was playing chess with them, and it was time for his move. And usually Rebbe Bunim, The opponent would sit and would think for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and Rebbe Bunim, the second it was his turn, would move. That's generally how he would play, and he would win. This time, so it came time for his move, and his opponent, there, people were sitting around watching, and his opponent was very surprised because Rebbe Bunim was actually thinking for a minute, and then after thinking for a minute, he said, one, that every single move that a person makes in this world, every single move that a person makes, it should be letzairach. One should not make any unnecessary moves. It's important that a move should only be, that every move should be necessary. And then he tapped his finger on the piece, on the chessboard, he tapped his finger twice. And then he moved. So after this happened, so they were sitting around at the chevra, these business people, and they asked the Rebbe Bunim, could you tell us that you said that every single move has a purpose? That's what you said. So what was the purpose of the tapping on the piece on the chessboard that you tapped? We never saw you do that. What were you tapping over there? So Rebbe Bunim said that you should know that at this very moment. At this very moment, you could check your watches. There's a woman in this village that was a few kilometers away from there that's having terrible difficulty giving birth. And I tapped twice to make a Pesach to open that she should have the baby. And the guys ran over there like Mishugayim. They got their horse, they ran over there. And when they got to that place, it was Mazel Tov, and there was a whole tumult. And it was exactly that second that the Rebbe Bunim was tapping on it, that was tapping to make a Pesach. And that was the move. The move that he was making, and that's why he took another minute. He had to help somehow to help this woman somehow get out of her tzara, and it was connected to the chess move, whatever. You know that that I've mentioned before that there was a chess game that was going on for over a year and a half between different tzaddikim during the time of the war with Napoleon in France and Russia, that the tzaddikim, as you know, took different sides. The Baal Tanya was the fierce opponent of Napoleon. He hated and despised Napoleon. And the Rebbe from Rimanov and others, there were other tzaddikim there that favored Napoleon, who had promised the Jews many rights and freedom and so on, as it's well known. And these tzaddikim would come together from time to time when they would see each other, and these were well planned out visits, and they would see each other, and they would make, each one would make one move with a chessboard that was left like that for the entire period of that year and a half. And they would make one move, and then they would talk about Tyre and this and that, and they would kiss each other, and they would go away. Until finally, the Baal Tanya screamed about checkmate, and he won, and he defeated the Rebbe from Rimanov in that game, and that's exactly when it was the Nefila of Napoleon, the famous Nefila of Napoleon, whose name means Nefila. That's when it took place, when the Baal Tanya said, when it was checkmate. So, what you and I think of just a simple game, so the tzaddikim have different cheshbonos. Let's talk about when the Rebbe became a pharmacist. Now, I mentioned this at the end last week. The reason that he himself stated later on, these are only things he spoke about later on. At the time, he didn't discuss this with anyone, but later on, the Rebbe Abunim explained why did he decide to become a pharmacist, which was almost unheard of in those days. That a Jew from his background, that one of the Hasidim should go into that business. It was very rare. And he explained that he could no longer bear being away from his Rebbe, the Yid HaKadosh in particular, and schlep around. You remember that until this time he is working for the tzaddikus, for the wealthy woman and supporter of the tzaddikim Temeril. And he was going all over Europe, schlepping with business and managing and so on. And as a result of that, he would only, on very rare occasions, have the opportunity to spend any significant amount of time with the tzaddikim. So he decided that he had enough of that, and that he wanted to go into the business of being a pharmacist and to be able to open a pharmacy in Pshischa. Now, as I mentioned last week, he was already fluent in German, which was an important thing because that was necessary for the profession and to study. So he was fluent in German. The problem was learning Latin, and I mentioned to you that he learned Latin in a matter of a few hours. He studied a book or two in Latin, and he taught himself Latin. And even though he knew all of this, it was required to go to the great city of Lemberg, Lvov, for the Bechina. There was a statewide exam, pretty much like we have now, and it was a series of tests that had to be taken in order for somebody to be licensed as a pharmacist in those days. So he went to this place, and they couldn't believe it. The professors had never seen a fellow that looked like him, and they were very shocked by his appearances and so on. And not only that, but they were making fun that some Polish Jew was here, and then they asked him the questions, and he answered everything fluently in German and in Latin, and he scored higher than anybody else in the entire exam. He was unbelievable. He was brilliant. So the professor was very impressed by this, and he asked the Rebunim, how is it possible that a Jew with long beards and side locks, where did you study? How did you study all this? Where did you go to college? Where did you go to school? So he said that he never went to secular school in his life. He never went to school a day in his life, and he the only way that he knew this is because he took some books out from the library on the subject. He can't afford, he said, to buy any books. So he took some books out from the library, and that's how he taught himself. And that's how he taught himself the Malacha. So the professor who was in charge over there was so impressed by him that he actually gave him 6 rubles, which was an oyster in that place at that time. He gave him a lot of money, and he told him to go enjoy, buy some textbooks. You don't have to use the books in the library. You're going to need the textbooks anyway. And that, Rebbe Abunim would laugh later on. He told us that's when he was able to afford to buy the Zohar Kaddish for that money. He used the money to buy the Zohar Kaddish. And he said that that once he had seen the books in the library, he did not need to refer to them anymore. He already knew them all by heart, so it wasn't necessary. And I guess in those days they didn't have new discoveries all the time, and he probably didn't subscribe to any journals. I don't know what was going on. But this is how he became, he was licensed, and he was an official, he was an officially licensed pharmacist. By the way, the Rebbe after whom our shul is named, the Eish Kodesh, was also a pharmacist, and was licensed in Poland, and he was, even though he never went to school, and he wrote prescriptions in Warsaw. And we have Edis, you told me? So Tzvi told me that his grandfather as a child, right? Well, it wasn't so small actually then. He was in Warsaw, and he was sent to get a prescription to the PZS. Then he actually, his grandfather met the PZS and he went to him for a prescription. The Rebbe used to fill out prescriptions. There were other tzaddikim that were famous for that. The Rebbe Reb Gershon Henoch from Radzin, Rebbe Gershon Henoch, the grandson of the Izbitzer, was considered to be the greatest pharmacist, the greatest expert in, he wasn't a pharmacist, he was a Rebbe, but he had rishus to write out prescriptions. He was considered to be the greatest in all of Poland. They came to him from all over Poland for prescriptions. So the first one that we know of that was in that malacha was the Rebbe Rebunim. Now, let me just share with you some interesting meisim from the days as a pharmacist, and then we're going to begin to talk about the days when he became Rebbe, and how he was chosen to become Rebbe after the Yid HaKadosh. this is a meisim that took place on Erev Yom Kippur. The Rebbe Bunim, again, I'm reading from the Sefer these were the words of the Rebbe Bunim. He told this Maisi over that it once happened, Bizman Milchemes Napoleon, during the war with Napoleon, Higia Hatsova Hatsarfati Lupshischa Be'Erev Yom Kippur. The French army reached Pshischa, and it was Erev Yom Kippur. And the French army encamped around Pshischa. And he said the way that it always was, Rebbe Bunim said, is that whenever the troops would travel, they would have with them a medic, right? A doctor from the army. So Rebbe Bunim said that it was Kol Nidre, and that he was davening for the Amid. He was davening Kol Nidre, and in the middle of the Shtila Shemone Esrei, in the middle of davening Mariv Yom Kippur night, some soldiers all of a sudden came into the shul with a prescription to be filled from the army, from the French doctor, from that medic, from Napoleon's army. And he came in the middle of Shemone Esrei by Yom Kippur night, which was Stam Lahachas, that he sent the soldiers to go in the middle of Yom Kippur night to give this prescription. And what was the prescription? So it said over there that one of the highest ranking officials of the French army that was over there had taken ill, and that this prescription, the doctor sent this prescription, like there was no other pharmacist, I don't know, maybe there wasn't another pharmacist, but it was sent davke to the Rebbe Bunim, and the soldier brought it to Rebbe Bunim in the middle of davening. But the soldiers that were standing there had derech eretz, they were a little bit afraid of the Rebbe, so they waited until after he went back Shemone Esrei, and then he turned to them and he read the prescription, and it said that this was a very choshev, like a general of the army, and the Rebbe Bunim said, the Rebbe Bunim told him, don't worry, he says, give me a few more minutes to finish davening, we're going to finish praying, and after I finish davening, I'm going to come and fill the prescription and take care of it, don't worry. So Rebbe Bunim finished davening Ma'ariv Yom Kippur, and he went back to his house. Now, when the Rebbe Bunim came back to his house, he saw an interesting thing. It says that doctor, the French doctor, was sitting with his entire mishpacha in the Rebbe Bunim's house with a lot of other people, and the doctor began to cry. And he was asking Rebbe Bunim, have rachmanis on me, have pity on me. Please have pity on me. So what happened? So he said that, what was going on was that this doctor, this French doctor, from Napoleon's army was a big anti-Semite. And what he Dafka wanted to shter, to bother the Jews, to send soldiers in by Kol Nidre, and to bother the Rebbe Bunim, that he has to write Dafka this prescription at this minute to get him out of davening. Now, as a result of that, what happened is the Rebbe Bunim read the prescription, and when he looked at the prescription, Rebbe Bunim realized that the doctor had made a terrible mistake, that actually the prescription was for a poison that would kill that general. And the doctor realized this afterwards, and the man who's holding the doctor's entire life in his hand is the Rebbe Bunim, because Rebbe Bunim has this prescription written out in the handwriting of the doctor to give the general poison. And the Rebbe Bunim said to him, "You should know that because you're an anti-Semite and you've made tzaros for Jews before, and you dafka wanted to shter my davening, to mess up the davening and all of our davening, and to send soldiers in. So the Rebbeinu Shlom Hashem caused you to. He was a great doctor. Hashem caused this confusion that you made a mistake on a simple prescription, and you wrote down instead that you're going to poison." This general. And you should know that you're going to be court-martialed and they're going to hang you. So this guy, this doctor, throws himself at the Rebbe's feet, and his wife is there, and the children, they're crying and begging the Rebbe Bunim to forgive him. And the Rebbe Bunim said, I'm not Michael, I'm not forgiving you for this. And they kept on, and then finally he said, the doctor said, I'll pay, he was a wealthy man, I'll pay whatever money is necessary. And the Rebbe Bunim says, I'm not Michael, I'm not interested in your money either. And at this point, so what happened was is that other people began to come from the town, word got out this was going on, and some leaders of the town, some non-Jewish leaders, even some of the Rosh Kehila of the Jewish leaders of the town, they came to the Rebbe Bunim and says, Rachmanis, you know, the guy is going to get killed. Why? So for a long time, Rebbe Bunim said, I'm not Michael, I'm not letting this go, until he gave a huge sum of money to be given out to the poor. Rebbe Bunim would not keep a penny, but it would be given out to the poor, Jews and non-Jews. Rebbe Bunim said how it's going to be distributed to the poor of the town, Jews and non-Jews. And then the Rebbe Bunim says that still this is only going to be on the Tanai, that never again do you ever harm a Jew, do you ever cause any difficulties for a Jew. And the doctor was maskim. He agreed. So this is one story that we have from the Rebbe Bunim's days as a pharmacist. Another story that we have from that time. There were one of the tzaddikim who was a student of the Rebbe Bunim was the Rebbe Henochel from Alexander. The Rebbe from Alexander. And the Rebbe Henochel from Alexander, among all the Rebbes, is one of the most famous storytellers. And one of the greatest sources of meisim that we have about the Rebbe Bunim are from the Rebbe from Alexander, Rebbe Chanoch Henoch from Alexander. So the Rebbe from Alexander said that when Rebbe Bunim was a pharmacist, he had long hours, because generally the people were working till very late, and they would only be able to come to get their prescriptions at night. And the Rebbe Bunim was usually preparing many things during the day and so on. He was working, but he always went to learn by the Yiddish Kaddish at night. He would go to learn with the Holy Jew from Shiska at night. So Rebbe Bunim, this is the following maisa that Rebbe Henochel from Alexander heard himself from Rebbe Bunim. Rebbe Bunim said this, Kasher Ayisa Yotzei, Me'aptik was when I left, I would leave from time to time the drugstore. Heiser Rayosi Harabanis Rivkula Machlifosi. When I would go, he says my wife Rivkula would take my place in the store. Umisharesis Heiser Esalukuchos Shabo Liknos Trufos, and she would wait on the customers who came for the medication. Umeacher Vaharabanis the Rebbitzin Lo Yoda Bidyuk. Since my wife was not so familiar with how things were set up, which medicine is found, which drug is found in this drawer and on this shelf, so the Rebbe said, I kept very clear labels. Very clear labels were kept on everything. I mean, now you get you know, you can't do that. You can't just leave and, you know, have your wife take over. But in those days, so he He wrote on each of the things. What exactly the drug that's there, so that she should know how to prepare the medicine. Not only that. Yes, so Alkain, Rabbi Bunim said, anytime that she sells something and uses something from any of the drawers, she should leave that drawer open. She should, when she finishes, not to close the drawer, leave it open, so that when I come back, I'll know exactly what was used, what we have to check up and to stock up, and so on. So he says, what happens like this. One time I came back after learning to the drugstore, and I saw that one of the drawers was open that contains in it a certain poison. And I asked my wife, I got worried, and I asked my wife, who did you give this to and what was the problem? And she said that she sold this to a certain guy who needed to drink a certain medication, and that she mixed this in with water and the right amount, and she gave it to the guy. So the Rebbe Bunim says, well, you mixed in the right amount, but that's poison. He's going to die the second he drinks it. That was meant to be some sort of something for the outside of the body, you know, something on a wound. And she made a mistake, and this person's going to die. So Rebbe Bunim says, Nevhalti ma'ayd. I was very, very terrified. And he said, the second he's going to drink this, he's going to die. So he says, v'tekef yetzasi achusa, and I immediately went outside, and he began running to try to catch up with but he didn't know what was going to be, because this is already a while ago. So he ran outside and he stopped before he right when he came outside the shop, and he called out. He said, "Rabbanu Shalom, Loma Boz says Zaisli Yodi. How could such a thing happen to me? Shal Yoda, you must bechinam alodover b'riyah shal Hashem esbarch." That for no reason an innocent one of your creation, an innocent human being should die because of me. How did it happen that an innocent human being should die because of me? And he was crying. And he said, and this is interesting, he said, which means, even though I was tzibrochen, I was broken about this, and how could it be that an innocent life would be taken because of my mistake? Even though I was broken, still I didn't lose control of myself, and he says I took upon myself to be besimcha, and to daven that everything will be well, and I began to run towards where that customer lived. As I began to run, all of a sudden the horse is coming with the misharis, with the servant of that guy. And he tells me that a stupid thing happened. He says when I was taking the medicine back to my master, back to the house, the prescription. So I had an accident with the horse, and we went into the wall, and the thing fell out of the off the saddle, whatever it was, and the bottle of medicine broke. So I need to have a new prescription. So the Rebbe Bunim said that this also was one of the three or four times that he davened for something miraculous, and that it was answered immediately. One I think final maaseh that we'll talk about, one and then one tiny little one that we'll talk about is becoming Rebbe, was another time that he was answered immediately was when the Rebbe Abunim was in Pesach, when he had this drugstore. So there was a gzeira of the Malchus, a decree came out from the government that Jews were no longer allowed to own drugstores. The reason for this decree was that Jews were now suspected of poisoning, that Jews were going to poison non-Jews. This is to drive Jews out of, slowly Jews were being driven out of every profession. So there was a law in all of Poland that Jews are not allowed to own drugstore. Now, the problem also was that since this happened at one time, they were not able to even get good prices on selling the stores. So the goyim were taking advantage. They knew that the Jews were not able to conduct this business, and obviously they were offering the Jews a pittance, tiny little amounts of money, to buy businesses that they had spent their lifetimes building up. That's not something that was unusual in history and even in modern times. So the Rebbe Rabbanim realized that at this point, at this time, that he was in danger of losing everything. So he said that he went to Krakow. He went to Krakow and he went to the grave of the Ramah. The Ramah is buried in Krakow. And he went there and he was Miyotze Chalotzov. He was a descendant. The Rebbe Rabbanim was a descendant of the Ramah. And he davened and he said, this is the tefillah. Ich bin der Pshischer, ani ha-Pshischoi, I am the Pshischer, and ani be'eis tzara, I'm in a terrible eis tzara, terrible situation, v'ani tzarech li Yeshua, and I need a Yeshua. He said, when he walked out of the cemetery where the Ramos buried, when he walked out, he met a certain German, a non-Jew, who all of a sudden asked him, tell me, Reb Yid, maybe you know somebody in Poland who would like to sell a pharmacy? He said, as soon as he came out of the cemetery, maybe you know somebody in Poland that would, I want to move to Poland. I want to buy a pharmacy. So, and he said, the Rebbe says, Bimikra, it happens. Somebody, you have a mazel. It happens that I'm trying to sell my pharmacy and I'd be happy to sell it. And not only that, but it seems like that the guy didn't even know that he could have gotten a better price. He was a German. He didn't even realize what was going on in Poland. And, whatever it is, the Rebbe got Kesef Molei, he got the complete price for that. After that, the Chidushim and other tzaddikim had a Kabbalah that it's a very, very big inyan to go daven by the Ramos grave. Not that it wasn't before, but even now it's a very big inyan to go daven by the Ramos grave. His yahrzeit is also on Lag BaOmer, and on Lag BaOmer by the Ramos grave, there were always thousands of Jews that would come from all over Poland and Galicia to go daven there. And finally, to conclude this parsha of his life, and to try to have a better understanding of what's the connection between the Rebbe being a Rofe Haguf, a healer of bodies, and then suddenly becoming one of the greatest healer of souls that ever lived. So during the time that the Rebbe Rabbanim was in the drugstore, even when there were customers walking in, he always had on his table, on the counter, he always had Zohar Kodesh, writings Kisvei Ari, writings Snarizal, and other Svarim Kedoshim are always on his counter. And he would say the following, from what I learned in my studies of how to cure people physically, I learned how to cure Jews spiritually. Kol davra nishkal bepeles b'maznai miduyak. The main thing I learned is like this, that every single thing has to be very carefully weighed on the scale. So as a pharmacist, he had to have just the right amount. Everything had to be perfectly weighed, that it should be able to help and not kill. So I learned as a pharmacist that you have to be very careful with the scales. Tipa achas miuteras, one extra drop, yecholo laharos gufa shalom, can destroy a person. One extra drop. V'kol shekein, shetipa achas shel geyus. And how much more so did I learn and understand from that one drop of conceit of the ego, yicholu lahashmid ulatame nefesh achas miYisrael, that one drop of ego, one drop of conceit, can destroy a Jew completely. And this was the experience that the Rebbe had. It's not clear exactly how many years, but it seems that we're talking about over a period of time that was somewhere between 7 and 10 years. That the Rebbe had the pharmacy business. During that time, there are also many stories. We don't have time. I want to start learning the Svarim within the next week or two. But during that period of time, there are also many stories of Lamed Vav Tzadikim that would come to the Rebbe Rabbanim from Pshischa for medicine. And it seems that he had another business going on there, not just filling out prescriptions for physical yeshuas, but prescriptions for spiritual yeshuas as well. Now, how did this change? When did the Rebbe become Rebbe? When did Rebbe Rabbanim become a Rebbe? In 1814, on the 19th of Tishrei, 1814, Tav Kuf Ayin Dalet, that's when the Yid HaKadosh, the Holy Jew from Peshischa, was nifted. That's when he passed away. And that's when the Talmidim, After the Yid HaKadosh passed away, the Talmidim were completely lost. The students were lost, and these are great and awesome tzaddikim. the Chavrayi Kaddisha that we're talking about, that gathered together after the Rebbe was buried during Shiva. The Tzaddikim, the students of the Yid HaKadosh, gathered together to try to come to some decision about how to continue, what was going to be, who was going to lead them. They, at that point, they had no idea. These are some of the Tzaddikim who you heard of were, to begin with, from the greatest students also, the Seer of Lublin of the Chayza, Rabbi Yitzchak from Vorka, Rabbi Yitzchak from Vorka, Rabbi Yitzchak from Vorka, Rabbi Mendel from Tomashov. In those days he was called Rabbi Mendel of Tomashov, because he was born in Tomashov. He later on became famous as the Kotzker. Rabbi Mendel from Kotzker, he was from Tomashov, Rabbi Mendel of Tomashov. The Kotzker was there. And Rabbi Yankov Aryeh Radziminer. All of these were to become great and famous leaders on their own. Rabbi Henochel from Alexander, that I mentioned a little while ago. Rabbi Binyamin from Lublin and other tzaddikim who would eventually lead their own schools of chassidus. But the question was, what's going to be? So initially, we have to keep in mind that Rabbi Bunim did not want to become, like many of the tzaddikim, he did not want to become Rebbe. He was still in his business, but while he was in business, some of the finest of the students, some of the sharpest of the students of the Yid HaKadosh, the Yid would send to Rabbi Bunim to learn with them and to prepare them and to teach them the ways of Chassidus. And by this time, he already had developed quite a following of his own. When the Yid HaKadosh, therefore, was only natural that slowly but surely people would begin to come to him. Initially, as long as the Chayza from Lublin, now you recall from the Shiyum that we had on the Yid HaKadosh, that there was a terrible, terrible break between the Yid HaKadosh and his Rebbe, the Chayza. The Chayza was still alive at this point because the Yid died before the Chayza. So the student died before the Rebbe. So the Rebbe Abunim was very careful not to upset the Chayza a second time. So people were coming to the Rebbe Abunim, and he refused to accept the Hamaynam. He did not accept people coming to him. He said that he's able to heal souls, and he's not interested in healing cows and goats, because the people in those days they had tzaris. They would bring their cows for Yeshuas and goats. You know, they would bring to the Rebbe, and he says, I'm a pharmacist. I have some knowledge of healing human beings, and when it comes to neshamas, to learn Torah together with them. But I'm not a Rebbe, and I'm not interested in healing cows or in goats. And this was his general hanhaga. This was the way that he conducted himself until the time that the Chayza passed away. Once the Seer of Lublin passed away, so then the Rebbe Rabunim's hanhaga, his way of dealing with the simple Jews, changed dramatically. Until then, he wouldn't even deal with the simple people. He only spoke in learning and in chassidus with the Talmid Chacham, with the scholars. He would not agree to speak to women or to have anything to do with inyanim, with matters of the community. After the Chayza died, so then the Rebbe Rabunim began to reach out to the simple people as well. As much as it was completely against his teva, it was against his nature to talk to cows and goats and, you know, deal with things like that. It wasn't his teva. So just like way back, a long time ago, we spoke about Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen from Lublin, that to me is the most remarkable thing, that when he became Rebbe, the last 13 years of his life, after Rabbi Leib Leiger died, that Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen took upon himself to be a Rebbe. And here was a man who his entire life never lifted his head out of a sefer. Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen never ate unless he finished a mesechta. Every day of his life, he finished a mesechta in Gemara. Every Shabbos, he made a siyum on Shabbos and an Erevin in depth. He wouldn't eat a meal unless he finished a mesechta, Rabbi Tzadok. And besides the all of his ksavim, his writings, and finally, he had nothing to do but chalal with people during all those years. And then when he became Rebbe, he understood, as took place with the Rebbe Abunim, that earlier, that the Rebbe has a responsibility to the Jewish people, not just to talk and learning, not just to teach chassidus. This is, of course, the way that the Kotzker, this was where the Kotzker was different from them, and the Kotzker to the end of his life refused to give in to that way of leadership. And that's why there was tremendous also machlokas regarding Kotzk, because it's clear, it's absolutely clear that the Baal Shem Tov himself certainly devoted much of his kaiches to simple people, if not the vast majority of his kaiches were devoted to simple Jews. And that was the accepted way of the Baal Shem Tov. That, of course, this is something we've spoken about time and time again. It seems that this was, from the beginning of Chassidus till this day, has been the subject of controversy among the Chassidim and among the Tzaddikim. So there were rabbis that gave tremendous amount of time to the simple people with cures and amulets and so on. The Chayezer, the Rapshitzer, the Rimenever, the Rishoner. These were Tzaddikim that spent tremendous amounts of time with the simple Jews. On the other hand, there were many Tzaddikim who did not see themselves as having that role. The Baal HaTanya, for instance, the Baal HaTanya Bechlal didn't go for that. Mizritcha Magid. The Baal HaTanya had rules and regulations about who can come and when. Well, you weren't just allowed to show up. There were rules and regulations. There were different ways of Hanhaga. But in general, by the Tzaddikim in Poland, with the notable exception of the Kotzker, once the Tzaddik became Rebbe, so then he understood that it was his responsibility to comfort and to help the simple people as well. And this was a transformation that took place in the life of the Rebbe's Rabbonim. Now, how did the other, since there were these amazing disciples and they all were students of the Yiddish Kaddish, why was the Rebbe Rabbonim chosen? Lamaisa, the other ones were learning day and night, and they were sitting all day long in the Yiddish Kaddish's Beis Medrash, while the Rebbe Rabbonim was handing out Tylenol and stuff. I'm sure they didn't have Tylenol back then, but while he was filling prescriptions, the other Talmidim was sitting day and night by the Yiddish Kaddish. So how is it that the Yiddish Kaddish became? That the Rebbe Rabbonim? Why did the Rebbe Rabbonim become Rebbe? So the Ma'aseh Shehayah Kachaya. This is what happened. It was still during the Shiva of the Yiddish Kaddish that the students gathered together. All the illustrious disciples of the Yiddish Kaddish came together, and they were sitting there telling stories and talking about the Rebbe, the Yiddish Kaddish, and the discussion led to the topic of what are we going to do now? What's going to be with us? We have no one to lead us. And they turned first to the Rebbe Rabbonim. The Rebbe Rabbonim was considered to be the cleverest and wisest of all the students. So they turned first to the Rebbe Rabbonim, and he said the following. And this was recorded by Rabbi Yamin from Lublin, who was there at the time. The Rebbe Rabbonim said the following. Em shalachem moshel amadavadayim. Let me tell you a moshel, a parable. And this is really very, this moshel is very profound. He says, moshel, this is a story, leroat son, a shepherd. Shehirbis es son ba'olav bimei hakayitz achamim ba'achu. And this shepherd was taking his flock out to graze on a very hot summer day. Vinim erov aifuso nofal nirdam la'aretz v'yot. He was so tired, he was so exhausted, the shepherd fell asleep. Bechatzais ha'layla, and he had a good shluf. When did he wake up? It was already midnight. So he went through the second part of the day. He slept until midnight. So he jumped up his oirer haro. He jumped up with a start. Of course, he was afraid that he lost the entire flock, that everything's gone. And every single detail is mekuvan al pi kabbalah. He says that the moon was shining in a beautiful clear sky. Ha'avir karir meshiv nefesh, and the air was cool and was very refreshing. Umayim toivim lishta zormim mahamayan liyado, and there was a wellspring of water, that was a fresh water that was trickling over there. The yabid heitev, and it was dark, so he was hard for him to see. But then he went and looked, the shepherd, and he saw kilo choser mimisper hatzon af kivsa achas, that not even one shepsel, not even one lamb had left. Every single one was there. The kulam amshichim lirosham, and the animals were enjoying themselves. They were grazing. Bemnucha b'shalva, it was fine. They were resting and eating. Come al raglov, the roetzon, the shepherd got up and he screamed out, La Hashem, beloshen Polish. He screamed out in Polish, Taidu l'chalukim, it says here how to say in Polish, I don't know Polish either. And he screamed out in Polish, thank you God. And he said, Vayisa enev l'shamayim, he lifted his eyes up to heaven, the shepherd, and he said, Ma'ucha litin l'cha tagmalakach, how can I repay you God for this? That you kept all my sheep and you kept my flock well and they're grazing and nothing was lost. How can I repay you? Elokim ahuvi. Kasher titen li, I have an idea. He says, this is how I'm going to repay you for all the good that you've done for me. Kasher titen li liro says, soncha, if you will give me the strength to continue watching your sheep, and he eros on b'nei amonis, I will be more faithful and more loyal and a better shepherd. Of a mesiris with great self-sacrifice, v'ashmerem kibabas eini, and I will watch them like the pupil of my eye. So the Rebbe Bunim told this marshal. You hear the marshal. So the Rebbe Bunim said, after he said this, im yimotze roa kamahu, you're asking me who's going to be the next Rebbe after the yid, after our Rebbe has died. The one who is like this shepherd is the one who must become a Rebbe, is the only one who can become a Rebbe, the one who is like this shepherd. When all the tzaddikim, the students of the Yiddish Kaddish heard this, they were maskim immediately that the Rebbe Abunim was going to be the Rebbe. Not that he was seeking that, but the Rebbe Abunim understood, and he said over the marshal, and they chose him to be the Roa Ne'eman, to be there, the faithful shepherd, who would worry, a shepherd who wouldn't fall asleep again, a shepherd who would take care of his flock, whether it was the heat of the summer or if it was the coldness of Chatzos Laila when it was midnight. Midnight means during the darkest days of Golas, when Jews are suffering, when it's difficult, and the heat of the day means Jews who have terrible struggles with their taivas, with their desires, and the heat of the day. A tzaddik will be able to be loyal and faithful to his sheep through the heat of the summer day and through the coldness, the cool night, and will give them the waters. That's what there was a mayan, there was a spring that was there, that will give them the waters of the Torah of Baal Shem Tov, of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and will understand what is it that Jews are thirsting for. He said that would be necessary for the one who would become Rebbe, and the Talmidim believed that the Rebbe Rabbunim was the one who would fit those requirements. I have to be someplace. I'm late for Simcha. So if you please forgive me, I'm just leaving a few minutes early. But if you could start Marv at 9, because they're going to, someone just give 10 minutes, because they're going to come into Davin, if that's okay. All right? So we'll continue with that next week.